Hello, my name is Casey Duttmer, Convention Chairman of the Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired. I'm here today with Beth Wagner, Orientation and Mobility Instructor for the Association of the Blind and Visually Impaired, a subsidiary of Mary Freebed. Today is a special day in the blind and visually impaired community. It's White Cane Safety Day, October 15th. We will talk about the history of that in a few minutes. We'll go through the history and how the day became what it is. And it's also known as Blind Americans Equality Day. Now, usually the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, we have a walk usually that we do, and it's a big social celebration. Usually we get together and we, a bunch of us, 8, 10, 12, maybe as many as 15 or so at sometimes, walk around the facility and show the white cane and what it's for, and we have refreshments afterwards. But due to circumstances with the pandemic and this convention, we were unable to do this. So because the Association for the Blind has worked quite a bit with our local chapter, we decided we'd compromise and work out something like this to recognize both organizations. I'm totally blind. I've been blind since birth. I've been a member of the Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired since 1973, and I've served in a lot of different positions with this organization. So Beth, now I'll introduce Beth Wagner, the Orientation Mobility Instructor, and she can talk a little bit about her background and what she does.
Thank you, Casey. Beth Wagner, Orientation and Mobility Specialist here at the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Casey, I am both certified as an Orientation and Mobility Specialist as well as a Vision Rehab Therapist. A gazillion years ago, diagnosed with a little bump on the optic nerve, and one thing led to another. I am able to drive and able to manage most other activities without issue. However, because of my visual impairment relative to the use of only one eye and a drooped lid, I was deemed as not fitting in another in a previous capacity, and so I needed to figure out why that was. So I went on and ended up with a couple of masters from Western Michigan in vision rehab therapy as well as orientation and mobility, and I am here at ABVI to serve those who are struggling with their visual impairment, making them independent once again.
And we've gotten lots of questions about White Cane Safety Day, its history, its origin, how this day came to fruition. And we've also had confusion on the type of cane. So Beth and I are going to go through a conversation. First, I'm going to read the history of the white cane and its origin. And then I will have a conversation with Beth about a couple different topics regarding orientation and mobility and pedestrian safety. The use of the white cane began in 1929 when James Biggs, an artist in Bristol, England, lost his sight and decided to paint his walking stick white to make himself more visible to oncoming motorists. A year later, the practice of using a white cane was adopted in the United States. In 1930, the first white cane ordinance was passed in Peoria, Illinois, granting pedestrians who are blind protections and the right-of-way while carrying a white cane. The following year, the Lions Club International launched a national campaign promoting the use of white canes by persons who are blind. By the end of World War II, as blind veterans began using canes to help them return home, the white cane began to make its way into government policy as a symbol of blind independence. During the early 1960s, several state organizations and rehabilitation agencies serving the blind and visually impaired community urged Congress to declare October 15th as White Cane Safety Day. Their efforts came to fruition on October 6, 1964, when a joint resolution of the Congress, H.R. 753, was signed into law, authorizing the President of the United States of America to proclaim October 15th of each year as White Cane Safety Day. On October 15th, 2000, former President Bill Clinton acknowledged the significance of the white cane. With proper training, people using the white cane can enjoy greater mobility and safety by determining the location of steps, curbs, uneven pavement, and other obstacles in their path. Independence is more than getting around safely. It includes any kind of daily living activity. What can you do to support people who are blind or visually impaired? Ask if someone needs assistance. Don't assume you know where the person is going. If someone using a dog guide, do not pet the dog wearing a harness. The dog is working. Lastly, please do not approach a person who is blind without identifying yourself. Over the years as a volunteer at the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, I received many calls running the switchboard about the different types of canes. And some people are really confused about the difference between the canes. So Beth, would you like to explain the types of canes and how they're used?
Absolutely, Casey. First of all, three kinds of white canes. The mobility cane. The mobility cane is the white cane used by the blind and visually impaired. This cane is to be used to detect objects and obstacles in one's pathway, changes in elevation, and changes in the surface area to be traveled. The mobility cane is sized at approximately the length from the foot to the upper chest area of the cane user. This is done so to provide alert information at a safer distance. The mobility cane is typically made of graphite or aluminum material that provides supreme durability in outdoor and indoor conditions. Mobility canes also utilize various cane tips for specific travel purposes. Mobility cane training does require the instruction of a certified orientation and mobility specialist, a COMS. The COMS provides sighted guide instruction, white cane training, and preparation for use of a guide dog. An individual who would be interested in accessing a guide dog would be required to have white cane training and appropriate O&M skills. The identity cane is a very lightweight cane that is held to alert the community of the individual's blindness and or visual impairment. It is sized similar to the mobility cane, but it is decidedly lighter in weight. It can be used to supplement sighted guide travel, often in crowded, complex travel areas. When using an identity cane under sighted guide, the cane is often gripped in a staff-like hold. A secondary function of the identity cane is to use it as a probing cane in a very familiar typically indoor environment. A light touch, typically in a standing position, can remind the cane user of specific orientation and or reminder of room layout or other probative measures. The support cane. This is a cane used by the blind or visually impaired who is clinically declared as having a physical disability that requires use of support of a cane. Client is putting weight on this cane, and its sizing is determined by a medical doctor or counterpart in physical therapy to best maintain support the weight of the client. The support cane is deemed clinically to be at the left or right side of the body and gripped specifically for weight bearing and not for detection as the mobility cane would be gripped. The adapted support cane differs from a regular support cane in that it is adapted white with the red tip for the individual's visual disability.
Well, thank you for that. I know I get a lot of calls about that, about the differences in the canes, and that's very helpful. And for those of you who are out there that may be just recently losing your vision or are totally blind and haven't had mobility instruction, this is a chance for you to hear the differences of the canes and how they're used. The next question is, how is travel for the pedestrian different today from 30 or 40 years ago?
Certainly there have been changes in roadways, intersections, the surgence of roundabouts, street crossings, signage, both audible, tactile signals, and turn capability from red lights. The intention of these changes are to keep vehicular traffic moving. Please keep in mind, though, that when encountering an individual using a white cane, that they are to be provided the right of way. The sighted driving public is to be watchful of allowing pedestrians, blind or sighted, to use crosswalks as they were intended, to allow street crossing of a blind pedestrian without honking the horn or revving of engine, which adds extraneous noise to the individual attempting to cross. Also, the sighted driving public be reminded that prior to turning, inclusive of roundabouts, all pedestrian travel is to be provided the right of way.
Well, thank you. That's a good reminder for drivers, and it's something we've been trying to promote, more pedestrian knowledge of and driver knowledge of the use of the white cane. Our final question is, what can be done by the blind and visually impaired community to encourage pedestrian safety using the white cane?
Well, first and foremost, I would recommend that white cane users use their cane for outdoor travel at all times. It is necessary to provide that kind of information to the public about one's travel. Secondly, I would offer that if there is ever a deficiency or ever one feeling a gap in their white cane training, that they contact Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, a Mary Freebed subsidiary organization, for additional training or assistance with their white cane. We are here to serve them all.
Well, thank you, Beth, for participating in this conversation. We couldn't do a walk this year because of various things, so this is our celebration. The Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, the local chapter, we usually celebrate this every year with the Association for the Blind. If you want more information about the Association for the Blind and Visually Impaired, you can go to their website, abvimichigan.org. To get more information about MCBVI, the Michigan Council of the Blind and Visually Impaired, go to our website, all spelled out, michigancounciloftheblind.org. Thank you so much for listening and being a part of our celebration. It's been a wonderful journey, a wonderful time making this presentation. And so let's celebrate the White Cane Day.